Well, it's good to be here. Had a good time today. Lynn and I went to Rogersville. They had their family and friends day up there. And so Mark was preaching. He was teaching the class. So we just ran off and enjoyed ourselves. Somebody said, "What are you doing here?" I said, "It's free food, isn't it?" They said, "Yeah, we figured you'd probably be here if it's free food." But got to see a lot of people. Some of those people we saw, they're getting older. I don't know what it is. We're not, but they are. I told a couple of them they were. They just looked at me, shook their head, and walked off. But we preached there about 30 years ago, I guess. Great bunch of people, great congregation. They had probably 300 or 400 there today. Great lunch, great sermon. Had just a good time and enjoyed ourselves. But it's good to be back at Tanner and to be here. So we want to encourage you today to open up your Bibles and study with us just a little bit. And if you would, turn, if you would, to Mark, or Matthew 19 and verse 16. Matthew 19 and verse 16. Oh, they're going too far. Ah, yes, we got it going. There's a thing up here. Melvis was seeing it. We were trying to say that, well, there's nothing up there, but he was looking at this, seeing something. and Ken's got it fixed. But in Matthew, the 19th chapter, starting with verse 16, we'd like to read this for just a little bit. "Now behold, one came and said to him, 'Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?' So he said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments.' He said to him, 'Which ones?' Jesus answered, 'You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself.' And this young man said, 'I've been doing all those.' Now Jesus looked at this young fella, and the Bible says that he loved him. He loved him because this young man was saying something that was so great. Here is a young man who is rich, who is concerned about religion. He's concerned about following God and doing what God wants him to do. He's concerned about trying to obey what God would have him do in the right way. He's concerned about his deeds. He said, "I've been doing this for," he said, "a long time, since my youth." And I don't know how old he was, but he was a young man. But evidently he had reached a certain age, and he had been living long enough to where he was one who had faced the temptations and had overcome those temptations. So here's a young man who really is a disciple in training. He's ready, he's almost an apostle in training because of the dedication that he's got, because of the consecration he's got. Now, there's a dark side to this story too, and you probably already know that, but one of the sayings that Jesus gave here, a very famous saying, is sometimes hard for us to understand. In verse 23, it said, "It's easy for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom." And we've trying to figure out how to get that, how to understand that, and I, for a while, some people had taught that there was a sheep gate there, and for the camel to get through it, it had to get in on its knees and crawl through there. Well, I don't know whether that's really true or not. I think what he's saying is what he's written here. Very simple. If you trust in your riches, you're not going to heaven. You can't be a part of God's kingdom, because that's going to keep you there. And we've got to understand that. And you say, "Well, wait a minute, we're not rich." Well, we live in America, we're rich. We have a great deal. And you don't realize, I think we understand that a little bit better when we go outside this country and see the way some people have to live. Now, sometimes look at some of those home shows that come on, you know, the international ones where they sell on those houses. Linda's going, "That house is a wreck. That's a barn. You can't live in that." And those people, "Well, this is a modern house in our country." And it is. Ours are a little bit different. So we really are rich people. We've got a great deal in this country. We need to be proud of it. We don't need to abuse it. We need to recognize that we don't need to let that get in our way of serving God. This young man, he let that get in his way. But I want to mention something more than just about this young man and what he had in his money that caused the problems for him. First of all, this young man had four problems that I see, and we're going to hit those pretty fast. The first one was that he did not recognize Jesus as the Lord. Now, here's a person who evidently had studied the law. Evidently, he had tried to find out what the law had to say, and as you study that law and you find out what that law is, you've got to come across some of the passages that talk about Jesus Christ and His coming to this earth. And most of the people were looking for that. Most of the people were looking for the Messiah to come. So here he is following these Ten Commandments, following the law of God, trying to do those things, but he did not see Jesus Christ. He did not recognize Him as Lord. He said, "Good teacher." Now, we don't catch much in that, and that's the reason in translating things, sometimes we miss something because we miss it a little bit in the translation. But what he was saying is, "You're a good teacher. You're a good teacher like Muhammad. You're a good teacher like Buddha. You're a good teacher like this fellow and this guy. You're a good teacher. Let me hear your teaching, you know. I want to hear that." And he thought Jesus was a good teacher, but not that he was the Son of God. And so this was the first problem that he had. He didn't see Jesus for who he was. And Jesus asked him a question. Who is good? And then he pointed him to the good one, to the good teacher, to the main teacher, and that's God. You see, Jesus didn't say, "Well, I am the Son of God." He said, "You need to be going to God." Jesus Christ, He does something that we are to do. We are to reflect Jesus Christ in our life to the world and back to God. That's what Jesus Christ did. He reflected the Father to the world and also back to God, to give God the honor and the glory for all of that, for all that He had done. So here's this young man. Why do you call me good? There's only one good. That's God. That's the one you need to be thinking about. That's the one you need to be worshiping. It's what he was trying to do, is to get him to understand that it's God over there. See, this young man had rules in his mind. He had rules, and you kind of check those rules off. In this rule, and that rule, and this rule, and that rule, and then you've got it. Well, that's not the way the Bible is. The Bible is not a bunch of, I've heard people say, the Bible is just a bunch of you cannots, thou shalt not. Well, it's got some of those, but those are for our protection. It's to try to help us to be the right kind of people. He was a good teacher, but here is Jesus trying to help this young man to see some things that maybe he had missed. And all of us need to do that because all of us need to improve. All of us need to find out those things that are there. He's trying to help him. And this young man had got rid of some of the bad habits. He was one who was trying to live right, trying to serve God, trying to do that. And here this young man is now coming to Jesus, this good teacher, to find out what more things he must do. And so he's trying to find this out. He talked with this young man. He tried to help him to understand the right way to go. But you see, this young man, even in listening to the teaching of Jesus, didn't understand that, like in Matthew 12 and verse 42, it talks there about Jesus being one that was wiser than Solomon. A greater than Solomon has come here. And you see, he didn't see that. He missed it. He was more concerned about the rules he was keeping than he was about the one that he was serving. He just saw Jesus as a good moral teacher, but did not see Him really as the Son of God, as really a part of God that had been set down to man. Now, there's a lot of people in the world today that they have a great deal of respect for Jesus Christ. They honor Him as a teacher, but they don't honor Him as the Son of God. Now, if you talk to some of the people in the world, they'll tell you Jesus Christ was a great teacher. But they won't go as far to say He was the Son of God. And you see, if you don't go that far to say He was the Son of God, the one you need to listen to, the one you need to follow, if you don't go that far, then other teaching are going to come in that are going to be contrary to what Jesus wants us to do. And that's what happens in the world. He saw Jesus just as that moral teacher, just one that could help you to live a good moral life. And let me tell you can live a moral life and not go to heaven. Did you know that? You can live a moral life and never make it to heaven. To go to heaven, you got to be a part of the kingdom of God. Now, it has to do with morality, but it has to do with more than morality. We look at people in the world and we say, well, this person, they could not be lost. Look at all the good that they've done. Look at how much money they've given. Look at how kind they were to other people, what they did for other people. And we think because of that, they're going into heaven. Let me tell you something. You're going to heaven because you're a part of the kingdom of God. You've obeyed God to become a part of the kingdom, and you're serving God and doing God's will. Now, that's what's going to get you to heaven. Not just being good to your neighbor. Now, please understand, we've got to do that too. But it's going to take more than that. It's going to take more than those things. C.S. Lewis said it this way. He said, when you look at Jesus Christ, you've got to find him one of three things. Either he's a lunatic, he's a liar, or he's the Lord. Now, that's it. And with the claims that he made, he's either crazy, or he doesn't, he doesn't understand what's going on. He is the Lord. This young man did not see that. He could not see that because he was looking for something else. He was looking for something else within Jesus that was not there, and he missed that. Now, look at this. Secondly, this young man was one who was unaware of his own faults. You say, well, no, he knew his faults. He said that he hadn't done some of that stuff that he was not supposed to do, and he had done the things that he was supposed to do. He said, honor your father and mother. He said, I've done that. I've obeyed those things. I've done those things. I've kept those things. He supposed for just a moment that his wealth and his intellect was so great that he had already done everything he needed to do. I wonder, and I just passing and wondering about this, I wonder if he thought, you know, this teacher needs to say, you know, I've heard about you. You're one of the best guys around. You're the greatest man that ever was. And brag on him and talk about how a great person he was. And you know, some of us, if you're not careful, our ego takes over and we get to thinking how good we are and how wonderful we are, and we don't even see our own faults. You ever seen anybody like that? They couldn't see their own faults. They couldn't see the things that were wrong in their lives. Suppose this young man had never murdered, and he hadn't even opened his mouth to speak bad about somebody. Suppose this young man had been one that he didn't just not commit adultery, but he didn't look at a woman to lust after her. Suppose this young man, not only did he not steal, but he was one who did not even want what the other people had because he had more than they did anyhow. Here's a young man that he probably was one that maybe he had been trying to follow the truth, and he thought he was following the whole truth. If he was a Jewish person and he was following the Ten Commandments, he was obeying the law. He was doing what God had told him to do. Jesus only presented this young man with some problems dealing with other people. Now, a part of the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, is a part that deals with man on man. And that's what Jesus had talked about, man on man. This young man had forgot about the idea of God and man. You'll not have another God before me. This young man had a God before him, his money. And maybe even his ego, I don't know. You've got to be a person that you're going to give yourself to God totally. That's what this young man should have understood. But he didn't recognize that. I think because of what he had and who he was, he felt he was head and shoulders above other people. We don't need to think we're above other people. In fact, the Bible tells us that we need to treat each other as though they are better than we are. That's what we got to learn to do. That's what we've got to learn to do in this. This young man here did not recognize Jesus as the Son of God. Therefore, he did not recognize all the teachings that Jesus did and the going up past the Ten Commandments over to the New Testament to helping him to understand the kind of life that he should live. But he didn't recognize Jesus. And therefore, he could not follow all of the truth. He could not see what the truth of God is. He was one who was naive about his own sins. He was blind to his own sins. And let me tell you something. If you're that way, you can't go to heaven. You can't do that. We've got to be those that inspect our own lives. And we look at our own lives to find out those things that are there. Now, Ah, boy, we're going good. We're getting heated up here. Did I do four? Not. Well, that's, yeah. Let me go back one. He misunderstood the plan of grace. See, he had the idea, commands. Okay, you obey this one, you mark it off. You obey this one, you mark it off. You obey this one, you mark it off. And to a certain extent, we believe that in the church. Because somebody said, what do you got to do to be a Christian? Faith, repentance, confession, and baptism. That's it. You're a Christian then. And we act like that. I read an article where a fellow said, you know, he was going to the church and he said, man, those guys that invite me to go fishing with them, they'd invite me to go to ball games, they'd invite me to do this or do that with them. And he said, one day I decided I want to become a Christian. I want to become a part of them. He said, I obeyed the gospel and I became a Christian. He said, there hadn't been one yet that called me and asked me anything else. Because they thought they had reached the goal, baptism. If we're not careful, that's what we do. Let me tell you something. There is no one act that makes you a Christian. You can believe and still be lost. You can be baptized and still be lost. It takes more than those things. What it takes is a lifestyle. It takes a way of living. And it's not just one thing. Please don't think I'm being critical of baptism or the plan of salvation. I'm not. But sometimes we have the idea that if we do this one thing, that's okay. We're in there. Let me tell you something. We've got to believe, and then we've got to do something about it. There's no one thing that we got to do. Baptism is important. It is necessary. We must be baptized in order to be saved. But if that's all you've done is you were baptized, you're not a saved person. Not at all. Because it takes living this every day. That's what this young man needed to understand. He needed to understand that he needed to be willing to follow God and do what God wants him to do. What good thing must I do in order to be saved? He asked him in verse 20. Tell me something that I need to do. Oh, can you feed 10,000 people? I can write a check tonight. We'll feed those 10,000 people. Well, let me see. Can you go to every service for 10 years? He said, I can do it. And it was just like, he was thinking about these things that he could do. The way he could just mark this off, I've done this, I've completed that. That's not it. That's our problem, I think, in religion. We're thinking that these are things that you just mark off. It's not that. It's us living it every day. It's a way of life. You're not a Christian on Sunday, but you're a Christian every day of the week. And so you live like that every day. Now, if you come to the worship services and you don't tell any dirty jokes and you don't do anything like that, but then you go out into the world and that's the way you live your life, let me tell you something, you've missed it. I got to be the same outside as I am here. I got to live, I got to conduct my life in the same way as I do as if I was here. One of the songs that Melvis sung tonight was, what about an eye? All seeing eye is watching over you. You did that, didn't you? See, God's looking at us. And He sees our hypocrisy. When we come and we sit in the services and we sing these songs and then we go out, and here we are not in a church building. Pews are not around us. We don't have song books. We don't have a Bible in our hand. And we're just out here where we work, working with other people that we know, that know us. And then, boy, we hit our finger and we let loose with the same words they do. We tell the same jokes that they tell. We cheat, we steal, we rob, we do all those things. Let me tell you something. That's not it. This is a way of life. It's not something you do when you come in those doors. I think one congregation I had, they had a sign over the doors you go out. You're going into the world to be a Christian. That's true. That's what we're supposed to do. This young man, he thought, oh, I can obey this, I can obey that, I can do this, I can do that, and everything's there. No. It's the way you live your life. Listen to Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30. Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. You put the burden that I have. What was his burden? Following the Father. was his burden. He said, but listen, don't think that's something that's going to weigh you down. You see, sometimes we think being a Christian is the hardest thing in the world. But tell you something, it can be the easiest thing. If we make a commitment that we're going to do whatever he says. And here he said, listen, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. He was wealthy, but he was the poorest man in the world. He was young, but he was foolish too. And his faith was not as strong as it needed to be. You know, in John 20, verses 30 and 31, John gives the theme of the book of John. He said, these things that are written here are written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. John is trying to say in his book, I want to show you some things that can identify Jesus as the Son of God. I want you to be able to, when you read this book and you go through this book, for you to come out saying, He is the Son of God. He is the Son of God. No question at all about it. I wonder if this young man had heard about the miracles that Jesus had performed. I wonder if he had heard about the things that Jesus had done in raising the dead and healing the sick. I wonder if he had heard about some of the times when Jesus had the confrontations with the Pharisees and Sadducees, all those C's, whoever they are. And he had dumbfounded them with his simple wisdom. I wonder if he had heard about that. I wonder if he had comprehended every bit of that. And he needed to. Now, number four. See, I told you I was going to get there. Here was a young man, and I suppose this is the one thing that he did that was worse than all the others. And those others were bad, but this is the one thing. He went away. Jesus said, you take all your riches and you give it to the poor and you come and follow me. 13th disciple. Now Paul later would have been the 14th one. You come and follow me. The young man just hung his head and walked away. Why did he do that? Because the riches were more important than God. The riches were more important than heaven. The riches were more important than anything he could think of. And he says in a simple way here, this is the problem. Go back to the commandments. Serve God, have no other God before you. Listen, this young man made a choice here. I want my money more than I want my God. And so he made a choice here. And he walked away. Now let me tell you something. This young man was a good young man, but he walked away from God. He couldn't see his own faults. That's a bad thing. You need to be able to see your own faults. And here's a young man that he didn't understand all about grace. He thought it was more law, and you got to obey these laws and mark them off and all that. He didn't understand the grace of God. But the worst thing he did was walk away. Do you know all about the Bible? Do you know everything that you need to do? Are you doing all that? We don't know all about the Bible. I don't care if you've been studying it for 100 years and you start studying it again, you'll see something you missed. I just guarantee you that. It's there. You'll see. I never saw that. I never saw that. I've been with preachers before. They said, hey, did you see this? I said, no. They said, look at this. And show you something and you think, wow, that's been there the whole time and I missed it. Let me ask you something. Did Peter, Andrew, James, and John, and all the other apostles and all the other disciples, did they understand everything correctly about Jesus Christ? No. Looking for an earthly kingdom. Looking for me being on the right, my brother being on the left. Looking for the Jews to overcome the Romans and beat them back and put them into the ocean and we'll rule over them. That was their idea. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. That's not what I'm trying to do. That's not what I'm trying to do. Do you know who is saved? Those people that obey God and that follow Him and they don't quit. That's the ones that's going to be saved. Let me ask you another question. How much do you need to know to be a saved person? Well, now, I need to be able to quote all the Bible. Yeah, that's good. Somebody said, I need to know all, if you know all the kings of Israel, that's a great thing. But that's not enough. You see, we sometimes are hung up on Bible knowledge and trivia in the Bible. I knew an old fellow one time at the nursing home, every preacher that went there, he'd say, do you know who God's wash pot is? Now look that one up. It's there. It like to broke his heart one day when a fellow answered it because that was his question. It's not how much you know, but it's who you're following and that you stay following Him. You stay following Jesus Christ. You don't give up and you don't quit. It's not based upon your knowledge. It's not based upon your understanding. Now, am I saying in that you don't need to grow, that you don't need to study? Not at all. We need to study. We need to grow. We need to learn to love God better. And the way we do that is by knowing Him in a better way. Let me tell you something. It's not how much you know. Because there's other people that know more than you do. So if there's other people that know more than you do and you don't know enough, are you lost? No. What about a person that responds to the invitation and all they know is I'm a sinner. Jesus Christ can save me and I need to follow His will. And His will tells me that in faith I need to repent of my sins. I need to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I need to be immersed in water for the remission of those sins and I need to serve God. That's all they know. How much did they know about their worship in Acts the second chapter? How much did they know about the church at that time? See, we base a lot on our great knowledge. And our knowledge is not so great. We need to study. We need to learn. But let me tell you, this is the thing I want to get to. We don't need to quit. Paul talked about it. He said everybody runs a race. And everybody that runs the Christian race gets a prize. Who do you care? Listen, if I ran the Boston Marathon, and I don't know how many they have, tens of thousands of people there, but if I was the last one, you wouldn't hear this old boy say a word. I'd be thrilled. Of course, don't look for my name to be up there. I'd be thrilled. Well, but you were 100 and say 10,000 people. Well, you were 10,000 out of all of them. You were the last one. I don't care. I completed it. I didn't quit. I didn't stop. Most Christians quit. And that's the reason they're lost. It's not Bible knowledge. It's not the attracting of the world. They quit. You're going to sin. You're going to do things that are wrong. You're not going to do what's right. I don't care how old you get. I don't care if you're a preacher, an elder, or who you are. You're going to do things that are wrong. What about it? God will forgive when you repent. That's the important thing. It's not that I've sinned. It's that God forgave me. It's not that, everybody knows how great I am and how obedient I am, how much I know and all this stuff. No, that's not it. It's that I did not quit. If you have a little Bible knowledge and you don't quit, you know you can go to heaven. You can go to heaven. If you've got a great Bible knowledge, and you don't quit, you can go to heaven. Now, I'm not saying keep your knowledge small. Not at all. You need to grow in the faith. You need to grow in your service to God. But I don't have to compare myself with you. You don't have to compare yourself with me. In fact, the Bible says, if you do that, you're not wise. You're foolish. Some people look around and say, oh man, if I had the Bible knowledge that Henry had, but I'm going to quit because I don't have the Bible knowledge that Henry had. Forget that. You have the Bible knowledge you have and you grow. That's what we're supposed to do. That's all we're supposed to do. Now, look at this one. Matthew 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's an important passage that maybe we've looked at and maybe we've missed it all these years. We've got to be willing to make a commitment to Jesus Christ. We've got to be willing to say, I'm going to serve Jesus Christ no matter what. If I sin, I'm going to come right back to Him. How do you think Peter failed? Denied the Lord three times. Denied Him three times. Could you go back to the 12 people that you had been around and walking with and talking with and living with and eating with and tell them, listen, I was wrong. I have sinned. Some people couldn't do that. They'd stay exactly where they were. Why? Because I can't admit it. Let me tell you something. You be willing to confess sins and do it with tears in your eyes. Don't walk but run. Don't run but jump. Whatever you got to do to get down and make yourself right with God, you do it. Because I'm going to tell you, Jesus Christ will receive you. He'll receive you in. All that labor and are heavy laden, He'll give them rest. He'll give them rest. Understand this. God wants to save people. He does not want anybody lost. That's the reason this old world and all of its sin and all of its rebellion is staying together right now so that God can give one more person an opportunity, one more chance to say, I love God, I'm going to serve God, I'm going to do His will, and look at how I obey God. And you serve Him. We sing a song to encourage all of us to respond to the invitation of Jesus Christ. I want you to know, God can forgive any sin you have committed if you're willing to repent of it. And it's not based on your knowledge. It's based on your sticking to it and growing in it and serving Him. And He's ready to receive you in now. If you're not a Christian, I want to plead with you. Become a Christian. You don't have to know everything under the sun. You have to know enough to follow God. Please come right now as we stand and as we sing.